of the Gospel of John. But first, let's go to John 20 and just look at the key verse of John. Of course, you could pick so many different verses, but John 20, verse 31, just kind of summarizes why John was written. John chapter 20, look at verse 31, if you would. The Bible says, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." So John even tells us why he wrote the Gospel of John, and it's so that people could believe and receive eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ by trusting in him. And this Gospel of John is so beautiful. One of the most beautiful books in the Bible, I reckon. It's when you think about the four Gospels, they're all written with a different group of people in mind, but John was written with the world in mind. Take, for example, the key word of John is the word believe. Shows up over 100 times in the Gospel of John. Do a search for how many times the word believe is in, say, the book of Matthew, and you'll be shocked. This book is about believing, placing your faith in Jesus Christ. And it emphasizes him as the Son of God, but also as God in the flesh, and written to the world to say this is the answer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as far as the layout of the book, it's primarily the ministry of Christ in the first 12 chapters. But then it has this very unique section, chapters 13 through 16, where Jesus spends that precious time right before the cross with his disciples in the upper room. We often refer to it as the Last Supper. What's in those four chapters isn't in the other Gospels. But think about how many great promises come out of those four chapters for us. I mean, just think about John 14, for example, the promise about the return of Christ, his person, the Holy Ghost. Then you go to 15, and he's the vine, and we're the branches. Without him, we can do nothing. 16, more beautiful truths about the peace of God and the Holy Ghost. And then we get to 17, and Jesus Christ actually prays for his disciples and for us. And you know, you hear people refer to what I call the model prayer in like Matthew 6 as the Lord's Prayer, but I would refer to John 17 as the Lord's Prayer. That's where our Lord prayed. And it's a beautiful chapter, but we'll get there eventually, maybe about a year and a half. Tonight, we're just going to look at the first three verses of John, where it introduces the person of Christ, which again is the purpose of the Gospel of John. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So my title tonight is "The Word Was God." Let's pray. Give us wisdom, Lord, and we pray the Holy Ghost would touch each of our hearts through the power of your Word. We would open our hearts and listen, and we would learn. Give us your guidance and your presence. And we commit this to you and pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So some beautiful truths about Jesus just in these three verses. The first thing we see here in verse 1 is that Jesus is the Word. Jesus and the Word are synonymous. They are the same. And that is so important for us to understand and believe. If you notice down in verse 14, the Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." But the Word became flesh. So first we find out that Jesus is the Word, and then we find out that the Word became flesh, that he became a man, that the incarnation. The Bible tells us, 1 John 5:7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That's talking about the Trinity. But it doesn't use the Father and Jesus and the Holy Ghost. It says the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost. So the Word is one of Christ's names. And when you get to Revelation 19 and we see Jesus coming back on a white horse, the Bible says, and his name is called the Word of God. So Jesus is the Word. And that's the first thing we see in this passage, that he and the Word are synonymous. But the second thing we see is that Jesus has always been. Notice it says, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. In the beginning with God. So in the beginning was the Word, and Jesus has no beginning. And that is important for us to understand. So go to Micah 5 and we'll see this. Micah 5 verse 2. Many verses we could use to talk about the eternality of Jesus Christ. But Micah 5 2 is one of the most beautiful verses because it also talks about where Jesus would be born. It was a prophecy about where he would be born. Notice Micah 5 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. There's no question who that's talking about. That's Jesus. Now, the Bible tells us in Colossians 1:17, he is before all things. Which means he's always been. And go to 1 John, if you would, verse 1. Now, written by the same author, and they're actually very similar. Gospel of John and the Epistle of 1 John, in that they both talk about the person of Christ. And then 1 John spends a bit more time talking about love, loving the brethren. But notice 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So notice it says, which was from the beginning. That's Jesus. So we see in this short little passage tonight in John that, first of all, Jesus is the Word, but second of all, that Jesus is eternal, that he's always been. But, of course, one of the key truths of this first verse here in John 1:1, is that Jesus is Jehovah. And that is so important. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word, what? Was God. So Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and God the Father are one. And that might be a little bit complicated to explain to a child, but it doesn't make it not true that Jesus Christ is Jehovah. Now, Isaiah 9:6, most of you know the verse, but it says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder. It says, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. So, the Prince of Peace. So two of Jesus' names there in the book of Isaiah, of all places, are the Mighty God and the Everlasting Father. Those are two of the names of Jesus Christ. And then if you go to Matthew 1:23, where God is prophesying of the birth of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So in this passage, we'll not only see that Jesus is the Word and that he's eternal, but that he is God. He is Jehovah. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. That's pretty clear, isn't it? God became a man. We call that the incarnation. Hebrews 1:8, he's unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. So, the Father says to the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. That's either blasphemous or Jesus Christ is God. So, three great truths about Christ already we've seen. Number one, he's the Word. They're synonymous. So, every time you open this and read it and study it, you are spending time with Jesus. It's important for us to understand that. He's eternal. He is Jehovah. And then lastly, we see in verse 3, he's the Creator. Notice it says, all things were made by him. That's pretty clear, isn't it? All things. Angels. The anointed cherub covereth the devil. The universe. All things were made by the Word of God, Jesus Christ. All things. And without him, just to make it clear, John says, and without him, Jesus, was not anything made that was made. Just to drive the point home. That there's nothing that's been made that Jesus didn't make. Now look down at verse 10. It says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So Jesus Christ is the Word. He's eternal. He is Jehovah. But then lastly, we see in our passage tonight, he is the Creator. Now, if you go to Colossians 1:16, very important verse about Jesus Christ being the Creator, because not only is he the Creator, but by virtue of being the Creator, he's also the Sustainer. Notice verse 16 of Colossians 1. For by him, that's talking about Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. So there it is again. He's eternal. He's always been. And look at this last phrase. And by him all things consist. I personally think that's that glue that science can't figure out. That makes the atoms stick together, and they don't know why. They know what happens inside an atom because, you know, the microscopes get stronger, but they can't explain the why. Why doesn't it just fly apart? Yep, that's the consist part. He made the universe, and he's the one that is sovereign over the universe. He is the one that holds the universe together. Jesus, the Word of God, the eternal Jehovah Jesus Christ is our Creator. And what does that mean for you and me? We need to spend more time fellowshipping with the Word. Think about what that means. Go to 1 John 1 again and we'll see this. Verse 3. But God wants us to make His Word an important, vital part of our Christian lives. Because it's Jesus. Spending time with Jesus. Remember in John 6 where Jesus said, I'm the bread of life? He was referring at the time back to manna. God rained manna down from the sky, gave Israel food for 40 years. They just picked it up off the ground and cooked it and ate it. And then we get to John 6 and Jesus refers back to the man and says, I'm the bread of life. How do we feed on Jesus? If he's likening himself to bread, and the Bible says man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word of God. So how do we feed on the manna in the New Testament age? Opening this book. Notice 1 John 1, verse 3 this time. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So there's an element, obviously, of when we get on our knees and pray, we're fellowshipping with Christ. And the Bible says when we're fellowshipping with one another, that's important as well. But the Bible also commands us, does it not, to study the Word, and to meditate in the Word, and to read the Word. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. So, God wants us to have fellowship with Jesus, but Jesus is the Word. So, think about it that way, that when you go to your devotional time, you know, a lot of times, we want to do all the talking. Because we tend to be kind of selfish and self-centered that way. But you know, we don't have many friends like that, do we? Because we just move on to someone else. Because we prefer to have friends who we can have a two-way conversation, don't we? Where one talks for a while and we listen and then vice versa. But a lot of Christians want their time with God to be one-sided. Lord, I just want to come and I just want to do all the talking and all the asking, and then I'll talk to you again tomorrow. Well, when are we going to let God talk back? When are we going to just stop and listen to what God has to say? How do we do that? You're holding it in your hands. That's when you give God an opportunity to talk to you, is when you fellowship with His Word, Jesus Christ, by opening it, by reading it, by studying it. meditating in it, you're fellowshipping with Christ. Because He is the Word. And the Word is Christ. So, four beautiful truths about our Savior tonight, just in these three verses. He is eternal. He's the Word. He is God or Jehovah. And He is the Creator. This is going to be a fun book. It's an awesome book. We're just going to love it. Guaranteed. So, by way of review, what is the number one occurring word in the book of John? Anybody know for 10 points? Oh, we're not in Awana. Can't give away points. Brad?
Believe.
Now, that's all forms of believe. Believe, believeth, believing. But all those forms of the word believe shows up over 100 times in John alone. Think about that. Believe. The next word after that is life, 66 times. So it only takes the two most powerful words of John to tell us why it was written. Believe and you'll get life. Eternal life. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. We see that over and over again in John. Believe. It's all about Jesus and believing on Him. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word.